John. Good morning, everybody. So good to see you all this morning. Smiling faces. Miss Ann back with us. And Crawford stepped in back here. Want to welcome Crawford to the house. Amen. Crawford, I know you won't mind me saying this, your beautiful better half. Thank you for being here and bringing her with you. Thank you for being here, Tammy. All of your smiling faces today, thank God for you. Saw Crawford this week, and he said, Mike, I'm going to be there Sunday. I said, yes. I said, can I put you a chair on the platform and just let a guitar sit in your lap? He said, well, I don't know if I'm caught up to that yet, but I will be there. So glad that you're here, Crawford. Been praying for you. As you know, Crawford was scheduled for a procedure to be done 10 days ago, something like that, 9 or 10 days ago. 11 days. And so before that, Jordan and Tim were planning on being here, and Jordan and Tim sold their house in Wilmington, but it was 2 weeks before they could move to the new house, so they closed the end of June. They had to put their things in storage and move in on, what was yesterday's date, July the 10th. And so just so happens, they were talking, they said, well, you know what, Mom and Dad, if you don't mind, me and the children will stay with you because Tim's going to kind of be in limbo until those 2 weeks while we're getting moved in that following weekend. So can we come and stay with you for 2 weeks in July? I said, sure. A few days later, Crawford said, Mike, I've got to have a procedure done, and I'll be out the entire month of July. And I said, well, isn't God good? God puts things together, you know. And so I want to thank Jordan for being here with us these last couple weeks today. She'll be going back to Wilmington tomorrow in her new home, and Tim's getting all that done, getting the shelves hung and all that stuff. So that's pretty nice, isn't it? She just walks right in. And sweet. The next time we move, I know who we're calling. Which, next move will be to heaven, I pray. Yeah, Chris will say, we're not moving again. But Crawford, it's so good to see you here. Can't wait to, no pressure, but if you feel like, we'll have your chair set right here. Amen. We sure miss you being up here. Love you. Love you. Thank God for each one of you. I know God is working. God is, you know, you're special to the kingdom of God. You are special to the kingdom of God. He made you with a unique fingerprint like no one else has. And he placed you on the earth today for this specific reason. Today. You're special. You're special to us. And we love you and thank God for you. God has a plan for your life. Pray God's blessings on you today as we delve into God's word. You know, I pray every weekend, God, give me your words. I don't want to say anything that I'm not supposed to say. As a matter of fact, every afternoon I get home, I say, Crystal, Jordan said, Pastor, Jordan says, Dad, she said, do you ask Mom that every week? I said, I do. I get home in the afternoon and I begin to run through the morning, and things sometimes move so fast till I have to kind of think through and process actually what happened this morning. And so I'll say to Crystal, I'll say, did I say anything I shouldn't have said this morning? 99% of the time, she says, no, everything you said was good. That 1% of the time, I take my correction, and I try to be careful next time. And aren't you glad that we're not always perfect? You know, most of the time we are, but sometimes we're not. You are. Amen. Thank God for you. No, I guarantee you, those that know me, you ain't got to ask anybody. You could ask Crystal, but don't. But you know, thank God he's still working on me, making me what I'm supposed to be. Even though when we don't see it, he's working. Thank you, Miss Luann. I think we just sung that, as a matter of fact. Isn't that awesome? Be sure to pick up your bulletin. There's some good information in there. There's a call to action in there. There's events that are coming up. Speaking of events, last Sunday we had our 4th of July outing, hamburgers, hot dogs, firecrackers. I mean, it was more than firecrackers. It was a fireworks display. And someone said, can we do that again next year? Elder Randy, he was the purchasing agent for all those goodies out there. And amen. With Juan's help and Terry's help, they lit a fire to all that stuff. And hours later, it was still burning. And Terry said, yeah. He went out there with a shovel, and Juan got some water. But thank you all for all the volunteers, the cooks, all the good food that you brought. We'll be doing another one on August the 1st. And we moved the time back just a little bit. We'll take advantage of a little bit cooler weather, I think 5:30 on August 1st. So we'll do that again, a great time of fellowship and food. The You're Invited cards, be sure to pick those up, the size of a business card. It's really good information that you can just leave on the table when you go to lunch to invite people without having to say it and go into a deep discussion if you don't want to. Just put that on your table, let them know that you're. It's a very beautiful, colorful card there. It tells about the prayer and everything going on this week. By the way, tomorrow night, 6:30, prayer here at the end of the hallway. So I think that about covers it all I wanted to tell you about. Everything else is in the bulletin. If you have any questions, call the office and talk to Gene. Amen. You can ask me or the elders too. We all try to stay in the loop. God is good. Amen. God is always faithful, and he never fails. And he wants to give us the confidence to believe in him. Philippians 1:6, today we'll wrap up this series. We'll start a new one next Sunday. In Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he, speaking of God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for your promises, and for your instruction. And God, I pray that today that I'm only a mouthpiece for what you want to say. Draw us closer to you, Father. Our hearts are open. Our minds are open. Do with us and in us, Father, what you will. And even those join us by Facebook Live, pray God your blessing and anointing upon those as well. As we learn of you and draw closer to you, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. We built a house a few years ago and been living here all of our life, but decided we needed to be a little less than 35 minutes from the church and wanted to be. And God knew that I was praying hard about that every day, even though Crystal wasn't aware of it, praying that that would happen. So anyway, the time came, and I've given bits and pieces of this over the last few years. But as we hired a contractor, and the contractor said, okay, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to build your house. It's going to cost you this, but I'm going to build your house. There was some confidence that I placed in that contractor to show up the next day to start clearing that lot and to do the work. And even some days when it rained for days, I mean, during the time that we were building that house in 2018, there were some times that there was a lot of rain going on. And there was a lot of confidence placed in that contractor and in his helpers and what his abilities were. And so I think back to that time and the confidence that I placed in him and how everything turned out and us being able to live within 8 minutes of the church and be here, and how much of a blessing that was. But it took my confidence being in that contractor to build that house before we could be where we are. And sometimes we put more confidence in people than we put in God. We can see them, we can talk to them, we can call them, we can go visit them, we can have a discussion. But with God, we've got to know that he has never failed. He's always faithful. He always does what he says he will do. He does more than that. The Bible says that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. So even when our confidence is in God and he's doing things more than you could ever ask or think or believe. And our confidence needs to be in God. And so in week one of this series, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the four names of God, how great his names are, the meanings of his names, how he is a refuge for us in time of need. Last week, we talked about God being our protector. I had that one point, God being our protector, and showed in the book of Psalm 91 all the things that he protects us from. And it would be good for you to listen to that and to study that, the short 16-verse chapter, Psalm 91. And so verses 13, where we stopped last week, it said that Moses wrote this chapter. And he wrote this chapter as the children were being taken into the promised land. But then in verse 14, where we'll pick up today, the last three verses, 14, 15, and 16, we notice that the author was not talking in those last verses. That Moses, whoever it was that wrote that chapter of Psalm 91, stopped his discussion in verse 13 and in verse 14, 15, and 16, someone else picked up, and it's the voice of God. God is speaking to us in these last three verses. And what I want to communicate to you today in the topic of being confident is knowing that God is our confidence. It's fine to have confidence in people. It's fine to rely on people, but our life can't rule based on the performance of a person. Our future is not based on what a person does or doesn't do. Our future is based on what God has done, is doing, and will do. And so we'll wrap up today and just reiterate our confidence being in God. And there are seven things, believe it or not, there are seven things that I want to show you in these three verses. And the first thing I want to show you is that God delivers those who love Him. God delivers those who love Him. God delivers from sickness. Now stay with me. He delivers in sickness. He delivers in sorrow. He delivers in loss. Could be financial, could be relationships. He delivers in all of these things. God delivers. Verse 14 of Psalm 91, because He, speaking of you and I, because He has set His love on me, this is God talking, remember. God is the author, God is the one speaking here, has set His love on me, capital M, this is God, therefore I will deliver Him. Now we'll talk about the delivering here in just a moment. That's a great promise, isn't it? God delivering us from all these things, from all the problems and the troubles and the sickness and the losses and the disappointments and all these things. Thank you, God, that You'll deliver us. But He precedes that promise by saying, He who has set His love on me. That's a major question. That's a major qualifier. David had a lot of mess ups. We've heard and we've talked and we've studied about David. David had a lot of mess ups. He had a lot of sins. And God still said that David loved him. How could God be so secure in David's love for him when David messed up so much and so badly? Because David was quick to see his sin. He repented. And he was changed. Those three things. David repented when he saw his sin. He asked for forgiveness. Asked God for forgiveness. And he changed. And so those three things gave God the confidence in David's love for him. Even though he was rotten. Thank God for David. Thank God for... Doesn't that help us all, especially those who are a little more rotten than others? I'm not calling any names. Crystal. Shh. That's a major qualifier, though. Do we love God? Do you love God? Do I love God? But our love for God is more than saying our love for God. Our love for God comes through our actions. And our love for God is not based on us being perfect, as I said. If so, then David would have been disqualified. But God knew that David loved him, even in his weakness and his mistakes and in his sin. So you got to know that God loves us even in our sin, but it's our reaction to that and what we do after that is what qualifies us to say, I love God. If I told Crystal that I loved her and I didn't speak to her again until next Sunday, she would wonder. She would wonder. I love a little story that Elder Denny says. He said, you know which one loves you best, either your dog or your wife. You take them both and you lock them in the trunk of your car, come back an hour later and open the trunk, and whoever licks you the most loves you the most. But our love is through our actions, isn't it? And so even though we mess up, if we do like David did, and that was to go to God anyway, not try to hide, not to be, you know, our tendency is to be ashamed, and the devil wants us to be ashamed and to try to hide and hide. That's what Adam and Eve did. Adam was ashamed. Well, the best thing he could have done was to have gone to God, right? And so we're to go to God. David showed God his love by his actions, even in his mistakes, even in his sins. And so God knows when we love him, and God knows when we're just wanting a time with him to get the benefits from him. God knows our heart. Mark says it this way in Mark 12, 29 through 30. It says, Jesus is speaking here. It said, Jesus answered to him, the first of all commandments. He begins with that. The first of all commandments. During this time, it's been said that there were 613 Pharisaical commandments. 613 during this time. And so Jesus was talking to the Pharisees when he said this, and he said, the first of all these commandments. I love what Elder John said a while ago. Commandments aren't suggestions. Commandments are commandments. So instructions aren't negotiable. You know, if you eat, you won't be hungry. Oh, okay, I'm not going to eat. Well, you're going to be hungry. You see what I'm saying? So there are instructions and there are commandments. There are suggestions. But when Jesus said this, he said the first of all commandments. There were 613 documented during this time. But he says that the greatest, the first of all these, goes on to say, is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God. Look at this. This is defining our love for God. Love God with all your heart. That's the core of our entire being, our heart. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. That means our desires, what you want, what you desire, your soul. And with all your mind, that's our thinking, our thought process, what we purpose to do. And with all your strength, that's your energy, your physical capacity, that's everything you are. And then he says, this is the first commandment. So that's the emphasis that Jesus puts on our love for God in Mark 12, 29 and 30. God calls us to love him, and he empowers us to love him. We have the capability, we have the capacity of loving God with all of our heart, with everything in us, all of our mind, our spirit, our strength. God gives us the capability and the matter of fact, we're not fulfilled in life unless we do love God that much. Because then we search and seek for other things to try to feel that love in our heart. We've got it to give, and it's God's to get it. Right? And then out of that love for God flows my ability to love Crystal, my children, and you, and everybody around me. If I don't love God, I can't love myself. If I can't love myself, I can't love you. I'm going to be mad at you. I'm going to be bitter. I'm going to be always disappointed. Doesn't matter what you do, I'm always mad because I don't love God. And if I don't love God, the most pure love, and receive God's love, then I can't love you because my love for you comes through my love for God. That's why he calls us to love God with everything we are, every ounce of everything we are. He created us to love him. And so God calls us to love him. And now, there are certain areas in our life that we know that we have improvement to make in our love for God. And that's okay. It's okay to know that we need to grow more. Matter of fact, I think that's a healthy thing. If we know we need to learn more, then maybe we'll have the desire to learn more. And as long as we're living, we always have the ability and the capacity and the need to learn, particularly out of the Word of God. But God delivers those who love Him. So to receive God's deliverance, there are certain things that we have to do. Certain things that we have to do that we have to respond to. I must get sleep in order not to be stressed. Well, I am so stressed, I'm tired. Are you getting sleep? No. Maybe I should get some sleep. So you see, simple things in life, just practical things in life. If I want gas in my car, guess what? I got to take the car to the gas station to put gas in it. If I'm on empty and I get up tomorrow morning and decide to go somewhere, I'm not going anywhere because I haven't made the point, followed the instruction to take that car to the gas station to put gas in it before. See what I'm saying? So there are things, if I don't want to be hungry, then I've got to eat. Y'all know I like to talk about food. Y'all are just egging me on. In order for me to have an integrity and trust from you, I've got to fulfill my commitments. Go a little deeper. So there are things that I've got to do. I can't non-answer my calls and say, call me if you need me, and I don't answer my calls and I don't talk to you for a couple of weeks. I need to fulfill my commitments in order to receive the integrity and the trust from you that should be there. So there are things, there are instructions that God gives us to do before we get the needed and wanted response. We have responsibilities to receive a needed response. For every promise, there's always an instruction. And so we see the promise here, but the instruction is that we've got to love God. And it's much deeper than what we read on the surface. It's good, it's easy, it's in our spirit man to do so. We've just got to be cognizant. We've got to realize what that love is and what that love involves. God delivers those who love Him. Deliver. Now this is the promise. This is the good part of the verse. He's going to deliver us from all these things as we love Him. In Hebrew, that phrase means one of two things. God may deliver us out of the situation altogether. That's what we hope and pray for. God, deliver me. Take me out of this mess. I don't want to face it again tomorrow. I'm tired of it. I'm done with it. Get me out of this. God can do that. But then God, the other side of that in Hebrew, is that God will give us the strength to endure that. That's also delivering us. And we don't like to talk about that delivery. God, take me out of it. You get credit for that. Unless you do, then you failed me. That's not true. Because God will give you the strength to endure it. That's the same miracle as it is as God taking you out of it altogether. Because only the strength of God will cause you to endure it and you not to be bitter or to burn or to smell like smoke when you come out the other side. Sometimes God wants us to go through the furnace. Sometimes God wants us to go through the fire so that we recognize who has the power, who has the key, who has the answers. And it's God. But either way, God's promised to deliver us. He means He will deliver us. It's a divine promise of God that He will follow through on as we love Him. The second thing I want to show you is that God protects those who know His name. Now, we've talked about this extensively over the last couple of weeks, knowing the name of God, knowing who He is, knowing who God is. He's supernatural. He's great. He made the universe. He put everything in place, every sprig of grass, every dirt, every pebble of sand on the beach. He knows them. They're numbered. The stars in the sky are greater than the numbers of sand on the beach. We're spinning 1,040 miles an hour right now. See, only God can do all these things. And so we need to know who God is, how great God is, and what God can do. God can do anything. So that's knowing the name of God. And as we know His name, as it says in 14, Psalm 91:14, I will set Him on high. That means I'll protect Him because we have known His name, God's name. That's knowing His name, the meaning of God's name. We know it. We have confidence in who He is and what He does. Number three, God answers those who pray. God answers those who pray. It says in 91:15, He, speaking of you and I again, God talking to us, He shall call upon me and I will answer him. See, as we talk to God, He knows our heart and desires. We express our heart and desires. The more we talk, the more I talk to you, the more you know kind of where my heart's at. The more we talk to God, the more God knows where our heart desires and who we are. The more we listen to God, which is the other side of prayer. Prayer isn't always just me talking. Prayer is also me listening to God. So as I listen to God, I also find out what His heart is and His desires are for me. Isn't that awesome? God wants to talk to us just like He wants to hear from us talk to Him. I was talking to some people not long ago, and the grandmother of the family had already passed away several years ago. Well, the grandfather was the one left living, and he had a will. And so the grandfather passed away, and so this family of three came and was talking to me and said, we need you to help give us some advice, direction on this type thing. But also, by the way, we've got this other person that has not been part of the family for all these years. He heard Grandpa died, and he's needing to know what he gets out of this. He's called and he'll be coming into town in the next few days. See, God wants to hear from us regularly and often, not just when we think there's going to be a handout. So this person's coming into town. Grandpa passed away, and so I'm entitled to something. I know he had this, this, and this. So, well, see, there's no relationship there. Our communication with God and our God protecting us comes through our relationship with Him, communicating with Him, and listening to Him. That's really what the entire Bible boils down to, and that is having a relationship with God. That's the foundation of loving God, is having a relationship with Him. And so God protects us. God answers those who pray. Doesn't mean that it's always the answer that we want to hear. And doesn't always mean that it's in the form of the answer that we recognize immediately. There's a place of allowing God to speak to us in the way that He needs to speak to us. He may speak to me a little differently than He speaks to you, or speaks differently to you than He does me. He knows us. He knows our personalities. He knows how to get our attention. And so that's why it's always important that we be in tune with God each and every day, listening to Him and praying. Our relationship with God requires communication to Him. Our relationship with God requires communicating from Him, and He wants to talk to us. Matthew 7:8 says, "For everyone who asks, receives." Well, there's the promise, receives. That's what we want to focus on. But what about the instruction one word before? We've got to ask. For everyone who asks, in Matthew 7:8, receives, and he who seeks, finds. He who knocks, it'll be open. Well, it seems simple, but we've got to follow through on our instruction. What do you need? What do you need God to do in your life? We pray and we communicate with God. We ask, we receive, we seek, we find, we knock, and the door is open. Not always in our ways, but remember, His ways are always higher than our ways. Always. Not sometimes. Well, God, you disappointed because you forgot to do this part. God covers it all. God covers it all. He covers much more, as Jordan was sharing this morning. God knew that she needed medical attention. Could have God have healed her just like that? Of course He could have, but there was more that He wanted to do. There were obviously some other lives and other people involved in this whole thing that we probably don't know about to this day, that we may not know about until we get to heaven. There was more that God was wanting to do through that, so He brought her home from Dallas for for a friend's father's funeral. And then we went through these next several weeks with brain surgery and healing process and all that with Jordan. But we've got to trust that God was doing something, because we were praying and we were hearing God and we had confidence in Him that He was going to bring all this together. How can you have that confidence? Because you've got to know who God is and know what God does. He's awesome. And so He says, call to me, the ask, the seek, and the knock, call to me. In the original text, this is what it means. It's a call of urgency. It's a call of passion. It's a call of desperation. It's one thing, and you know that I teach that we should be in constant prayer all the time. We can be praying behind the steering wheel, in the shower, behind the desk, on the golf course. That's where we pray a lot. On the golf course, fishing, whatever. You know, so we pray constantly. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's also a time of face and nose to the carpet, praying, crying out to God. God, I need you in this situation. I need an answer. That's the call that what he's alluding to here. It's not necessarily a quiet talk and a talk in passing, God help me in this. He hears that. I'm not saying, hear my heart. But there's also a call of desperation, a call of passion. God, I need you to do something. What would your prayer be like if you knew your life depended on it? That's the call of God. That's what he's talking about here. That's the meaning of that text and that phrase, is that we really mean, God, I've got to have you in this thing. I need you to show me what to do. I need you to show me, God, this urgency, this passion, this desperation, God. Without you answering, I don't know what's going to happen here. And you know what? In that time of desperation, that time of that type need, that type of calling out to God, God answers. It says here, God answers when we call on Him. He will answer you. It doesn't take somebody that's done good. Sometimes we judge our own imperfections by how God answers our prayer. God don't look at you that way. He loves you. And our qualification is met when we love God. And we go by the definition that Mark gives us, as we read a while ago. That's, as we draw closer to God, as we love God, that is the qualifier of Him doing all these things in our life. And our confidence can be in Him 100%. God knows our heart. He knows when we mean business. He knows when we're urgent. He knows when we're just going through the motions. He knows. We were in a restaurant this past week, and Crystal came down with a stomach bug, I guess about Tuesday, and was at home, and so she got better Friday morning, and then lo and behold, Jordan came down with a stomach bug, and she didn't start feeling better until about yesterday afternoon. But so I met Jordan and the children for lunch, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever day it was, and so we were sitting in this booth, and Maddox was in his high chair here, and I was sitting here, and then Jordan and Bailey were across from me. And so, I don't know, 80, 90 people. There was it's a good-sized restaurant, and nobody knew we were in there. Nobody knew Maddox was in there at all, I mean, except for the people that sat us down. It was, you know, got in there and ate our food, and Maddox was happy. He was just, you know, sometimes he would just get happy and just start smiling and showing those four teeth. He's got two more popping through now, and he's getting ready for some T-bone and chicken wings. And she was sitting there just having a ball, and Jordan was, you know, dividing up some French fries for him, and he was eating and everything, and he was happy. He was just doing good and all that. Well, without any warning, Maddox gets so excited he can't contain himself that he lets out a blood-curdling scream, like that. And it was as loud as a scream as I'd ever heard in my life. And when he let it out, I mean, we were all stunned. You know, we looked at him, and the lady sitting across from the aisle, she went, and George said, I'm sorry. And But everyone knew at that moment that Maddox was in the house. I guarantee you they heard him in the kitchen. And it's a loud restaurant. It's not a quiet restaurant. It's loud as any. I mean, they've got 2,500 televisions in there, and a lot of people, not that many, but a bunch, right? But the force that Maddox used to make the announcement of whatever he was saying was heard by everyone in there. Did you know your call to God will get God's attention? Your call to God of desperation, of passion, of you know what? It's the same effect with our praise to God. Where the Bible says, like Jordan said this morning, let out a shout of praise. Even our praise gets the attention of God because I don't know the words to express it, but there's an excitement, kind of like what Maddox had. That fry was good, but that wasn't, he was just so excited he had to let it out somehow. If I could sound the way he sound, y'all would all just plug your ears. He has a healthy set of lungs, believe me. But our heart in expressing that thing, whether it's in trouble, God help me, or whether it's in worship and praise, God, I praise you. The power behind that stirs up God's attention, and he's looking at you. I mean, had Maddox been in a troubled situation and needed somebody to help, he would have had plenty of help. Because everybody was to attention. I mean, they were, what does this child need? And so God has his attention on you. You have God's attention, undivided. He's not busy with something else. His attention is on you as we cry out to him. Number four, God is with us in trouble. Aren't you glad? God is with us in trouble. Yes, he's with us before the trouble. He's with us after the trouble. But isn't it peaceful to know that God is with us in trouble? God is not afraid of trouble. We had a lady one time years ago that lived next door to us, and she had a cat called Trouble. And walked out in the yard, I said, ma'am, what are you doing? She said, I'm looking for trouble. That's, see ya. I'll be in the house. God's with us in trouble. Psalm 91:15 says, I will be with him in trouble. That's God speaking to us. Remember, Jesus, they woke Jesus up in the middle of a ship that probably would have turned over in the middle of a storm, bad storm. Jesus is asleep. Now, he wasn't concerned a bit. If you can sleep through that, you can sleep through anything. And they had to go back there and wake him up, say, Jesus, do you not know that we're about to flip out here? We need you to do something. So Jesus calmly gets up without any fear whatsoever, and he speaks to the storm, storm, be still, and it ceased. So God is not afraid of trouble. You say, well, this trouble that I'm in, this trouble I'm facing, nobody can do anything about. Yes, God can do everything in your situation. He can work out the details. He can bring it all together, and he can bring peace through it all. God can do anything, and he's not afraid of your situation, no matter how bad it is. Isn't that great? God is with us in trouble. As a matter of fact, sometimes God has our attention a little bit more when we're in trouble than when we're not, if the truth be known. Do we pray differently when we're facing trouble than when we're not facing trouble? And so maybe sometimes, I don't know, this is just a shot, maybe sometimes God allows things in our life to kind of get our attention so that we focus a little more on him. Not that he wants you to be in trouble, but he wants us to see how big a God he is, that we can have full confidence in him, that he can do anything, he can do everything. The greatest miracles of my life were as I was walking through trouble where I had no idea what to do. God brought miracles right through those times. Number five, God honors us. God honors us. How's that? We're called to honor him and to worship him. And yeah, but God honors us. It says in 91:15, I will deliver him and honor him. God honors us as we love him, as we trust him, we have confidence in him, we pray. The Bible says that God honors you. God honors you. This is more of a weighty anointing. It's reading and studying that word honor. You know, we think of medals and a special hat and a special coat and things like that as honor. But God's honor is deeper than that. God's honor is like favor. How many needs favor? God's favor. You need God to work some things out. Favor, blessing, provision. I see hands going up everywhere. That's the honor that God is talking about. I will deliver him and honor him. It's a weighty, it's anointing, it's a tangible presence, but you can't see it. It's an intangible, tangible presence. We were praying the other day for Gaga. So must have been Tuesday night or Wednesday night. We're about to go to bed. And Crystal said, Mike, will you anoint me and pray for me? She said, I'm just feeling awful. I said, absolutely. So Jordan and Bailey, they're getting ready to go upstairs. And Jordan grabbed Bailey. She said, come on, Bailey, let's pray with G-Pa as he prays for Gaga. And so I got the oil and anointed her head, and we prayed. And there was the spirit that we felt right there in that moment, even Jordan, even Bailey at 4 years old, recognized the weighty anointing that was upon that prayer time. And then we asked her to pray. And so she prayed while we anointed her. And you talk about the presence of God. And so there's this honor that God gives us as we seek him, as we love him. He honors us in his presence and his blessing and his anointing. And God was with Crystal during this week, even though she probably got some much needed rest. We had to take up the slack. Thank God Jordan was home. I'll tell you what, she helped out a lot. And so God pours out his honor on you by doing all these things that you can't necessarily see. You know, the things that we can see and touch, those are nice, but much deeper and much more important than that is God's honor and his spirit and his presence walking with us each and every day. Without that, the other doesn't matter anyway, right? I'd much rather take the anointing over material things any day of the week. And so God wants to honor you by placing his anointing, his presence, his blessing, his provision, his power in and over you, so that you always walk in his anointing, his weighty honor. Those are strange words, but that's what that means. And God blesses us many times by doing the things that we can't do. They seem impossible. And he brings those things about, and he blesses us, and he gives provision for things that we have no control over, and we see God working in our lives. And what Satan means for evil, like Jordan said a while ago, God turns around for good. That's the honor that God says he will bestow on you as we love God. Number six, God rewards with long life. God rewards with long life. Long life here has a unique meaning, and this is a tough one because you say long life. Well, Mike, I know of a lot of people that didn't live to be old. They didn't have long life. Well, see, our definition of long life is to live a long time. Live X number of years, you lived a long life. But the long life he's speaking of here is a unique meaning. God can make us to live a long life, whether it's just a few moments, whether it's a few weeks, whether it's 35 years old, 85 years old, or 102 years old. God's meaning here of long life is one of meaning that it's a fulfilled life. Fulfilled life. Psalm 91:16, with long life I will satisfy him. Long life. forever life, life forever. It's eternal life. So God will bless us with eternal life. And our long life definition isn't based on how many years on this earth that we are. You see, God has still got a purpose for you and for me because we're still here. I believe that once our purpose is fulfilled at whatever age that is, we continue to live, just not living on this earth. As Rick's dad just went to heaven, 96 years old, his purpose here on earth was complete, but you know what? He's got a long life because he's still living in eternity in the presence of God. And so our long life isn't based on the number of years or moments, seconds, days, weeks, years that we have on this earth. Long life, he's promising us, is a satisfied life on this earth and in eternity, the life to come. Forever life with him means that God is fulfilling his purpose in us while we're on this earth. Because there are many people that I know serve God and love God, my mom being one, 35 years old, that in my mind, at 13 years old, I'm thinking, God, I had to work through this thing. Why would you take my mom at 35 years old? And so we ask that question many times, but this really brings revelation to that, in that no matter when they're called from this earth to heaven, God has fulfilled a purpose here. And God is doing something greater than what we could ever imagine. Now, I'm not saying that's an all-inclusive answer. So don't get me wrong. I'm sure there's more to that than what we know and what we can study and what we can mentally wrap our minds around. But we know that God uses all these things, the lives of those who are here on earth, even babies who have just lived moments and then went to heaven, in that life, in that precious child's life, God has a purpose, and God will bring blessing out of that, even though it's devastating. It's hard. God numbers our days, and there's nothing we can do to add a single hour to it. God can. God can add an hour to it. He can add years to it. But God, life is in God's hands. Every breath of life is in God's hands. And finally, number 7, God gives salvation. God gives salvation. To those who love him, God saves us. Even while we're walking this earth, even while we're here, God saves us and gives us salvation so that we can walk with the confidence of him being in our life and being the driving force of our life. With long life, I will satisfy him, Psalm 91:16 says, and show him my salvation. God promises to show us his salvation. What did God conquer? God conquered everything. Everything through the Son of Jesus Christ, death, hell, and the grave. Everything that God has conquered, everything that God has done, he imparts into us through the salvation that he gives us. And many times, we don't take enough time to think about our eternal life and receiving God's salvation on this earth, so that when we do come into eternity, where are we going to spend eternity? I think it's a good thing. You say, well, that's kind of elementary. Well, it's elementary, but it's vitally important to our walk with God, not only today, but also in the days to come, to know that God is our salvation, and our qualifier for his salvation is to love him, to love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our heart, soul, strength. And our hope in heaven comes through our relationship in God, in Jesus Christ. And it can be much more than I hope I'll be in heaven. It can be much more than that. It can be I know because I have confidence in God, the one who saved me. God wants to do that. And see, God is the only one that can do all these 7 things that I've given you today. He's the only one. There's not another person. There's not an organization that can promise these things, much less deliver them. God delivers. He protects. God answers. God's with us in trouble. God honors us. God gives us a long life, and God gives us salvation. God is the only one that can do this. It can't come by any other way except by God. And why can't our confidence be in him? 100%. What are you in today? What do you need God to do in your life today? He is our salvation. He's our source. He's asking for us to love Him and allow Him to work. Your impossible situations that I know by our own count and by our own vision of what's going on could be impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. Not anything. God is our healer. He's our provider. He's our protector. He's our strength. And so if we love God and we give God our heart and all these things, and God doesn't come through for us like we want Him to come through for us, remember that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher. His purpose is greater. And there's much more that He's doing than what we can see. We must give God room, that as we have confidence in Him, give Him room to do all these things in His timing. So our confidence isn't based on God's answer to us as we define it, but it's knowing that His answer to us will come exactly when it's supposed to. Never being late, never being early. Our confidence in God. Philippians 1:6 again says, being confident of this very thing, that God, He who has begun a work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together this morning.